Okay, so go ahead and state your name for me first.
My first name is Damien. My last name is Tashchin.
And how'd you get started playing?
Well, I started playing music, like, gosh, right from as long as I can remember. I wasn't very good at it at an early age. I mean, it's something I had to work towards. It's not a natural thing for me. I always am kind of pulled towards music in every direction, you know, but it's taken me a really long time to be comfortable playing, especially, you know, instruments. You know, even though I've played it for 25, 30 years, it's still a learning process to this day, you know. It's one of those things that you never finish learning about. You know? Yeah, like writing a story that never ends.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, people don't realize how much time and effort it really goes into even just learning the instrument and
absolutely.
Then getting the guts to be able to perform it live and near vision.
And then writing your own material. Because that's another thing, you never end up having a punctuation mark at the end of it. It always ends up being a morph. You know, it always ends up never feeling like it's done to a lot of artists, especially me. It's taken me so long to get to the point I put out this EP, and man, it was like coming to the point where I was like, okay, this song is ready, it's done, I can send it out and I can let people listen to it. That was the hardest part for me in a lot of ways, just saying it's good enough to go out.
And what about the band that played on your record? Did you do everything, or did you have musicians come in?
What I did is, like we were talking about, you have to have your hands in all these different fires and stuff. For me, like, trying to form a band these days with so many different things happening, it's, you know, session musicians, I got access to some of the best guys that came through on this thing. It was easy enough just to call them and say, please come through and play on my EP. And they're like some of the best guys in this area, like especially like Atwater area and you know, Pasadena, South Pasadena area, like local legends in the music. And, you know, that was where, for me, it was just, I wanted to get the best guys to do the EP, because then the EP is my lure. That's what I cast out to get people to listen to it. Like guys that are now currently in my band, I could give them this EP and say, this is my vision, it's professional, it sounds good, it's done right, it's recorded right. And then they, you know, having something professional in their hands to listen to draws them in more towards, you know, wanting to be involved. So that was my intention with this EP, was to get my family built from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I got the good musicians to play on it for the tracks, but then my family is what I want to build from the EP. And then when I come out with my LP, it'll be the band that works from the EP.
So your live band will be playing on the next record.
That's right.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll be able to. That's how I can get my good players in. You know what I'm saying? Because as you know, with the guys that are doing the that did the EP for me, they're like the keyboardist's name is Jared Borg. He tours with Ziggy Marley, and you know, he's gone all the time. And those guys are always, all the other musicians are out doing their own thing, and respectfully so, they got to go do their thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so. But I got to keep pushing, and this EP was my bait, you know, was my bait to catch these other guys that are amazing. Like, these musicians I got working with me now are just, they're top notch. I'm so excited about the band I got formed right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, really, you sound professional, people are going to treat you professionally too. It's really a big part of the whole thing, you know?
So it is, yeah.
Sometimes it's better to have like a smaller collection of songs that sound real killer.
Yeah.
Than to have a big old record that maybe isn't quite so good production-wise, you know what I mean?
I agree. 100% I agree. I'd rather have quality than quantity.
Absolutely.
In this particular situation. Yeah, because, you know, if that's the case, you end up being a joke, you know? And I'm at an age now where I'm more mature, and I've done the LA scene for, I mean, I since I was 18, that was when I started playing gigs. I used to open up for System of a Down back in the day, before System of a Down was System of a Down.
Yeah.
Like, you know, back in the days, like when the clubs were...
Apex Theory was still around.
All the time,
I played
man.
With those guys
okay.
for a little while.
So you know about the FM station
in
Lancashire and Victory. I grew up there, like,
okay, cool.
you know, in the late 80s when it was bumping, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I saw the scene and I saw the decline. And I, you know, in the mid, early 90s, it was, you know, still bumping. But then it died because nobody, especially now with the way that the systems are set up, you don't have to go out. The club scene's dead. You know, when you can hold it in your hand, why are you going to go stand in a line and be judged if you can get into a club or not? Right. Or, you know, sit there and have awkward conversations with people you don't really know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's just a whole new scene now where right. you can put things into people's hands, but it's got to be right. It's got to be pro. Absolutely. That's my theory anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Yeah. So tell me about your songwriting process. I assume, because you lead your whole band, that you write your own things. Specifically, your lyrics. Because your lyrics are very passionate. Thank I can you. Tell they're very, thought out. Like, you don't just write stuff down. Like, you think about what you're trying to say.
Well, that's nice to see.
Does that take a long time? Like, how do you kind of get about doing that?
Well, first off, for me, the biggest, honor is hearing people that, like yourself, that actually sit and listen to these, this stuff, because it does mean a lot to me, and it does come from a place of, my genuine heart is giving you, because that's, like I said, you can't come fake. Mm-hmm. You gotta be correct. And a lot of times, going through processes, like this last couple of years have been really, really hard on me. I went through a real messy divorce with my ex-wife, and changing my life in that sense really brought a lot of stuff out of me, and a lot of it was really deep, and the only way I was really able to get through it was to kind of put it into this kind of format. Yeah. You know what I mean? And instead of being, I had a good drive and I had a good positivity behind it, and creativity has always been something that's kept me up, so I mean, as far as the lyrics go, they just kind of come out of me when the song does. Mm-hmm. There's been times, I keep this book with me, and I got this full of stuff. Even though on the way over here, it's as dangerous as it is, I'm writing stuff down. It pops in, and I keep, even now, especially now recently, I'm waking up in the middle of the night and starting to write stuff down. And it's just, whether it applies to anything or gets used anywhere, who knows, but there's material there to pull from if I need it.
That's very cool. Yeah, it reflects in your voice too, because even as a singer, you sound very pained a lot of the times, which is a good thing, don't get me wrong. It's like you said, music has to be real, especially for me. Yeah. I listen to a lot of music, man, so if it seems fake or contrived, you're gone. I don't care. But you had this really real tone to your voice, and you're a good singer, and it's neat to hear people do that without trying to do it, because listening to it, I feel like that's just who you are.
Nice of you to say. That's an extreme compliment, and I really appreciate that.
Pain does a lot for artists.
It's working through it. Yeah. For me, this is the tool. A lot of people aren't going to understand what you and I do. We're musicians, mm-hmm. I wouldn't understand somebody who wants to sit and watch football every Sunday. I wouldn't understand somebody who wants to build motorcycles, even though I know these people, mm-hmm. And I'm close with all these people, they're my best friends. They wouldn't understand how we vent, what I'm saying? Absolutely. How we, this is something that drives me to live, mm-hmm. It's like everybody else their thing, everybody has, this is my thing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So how'd you get the gig at the Rose? Did you have to sell tickets and all that stuff?
That was a weird deal. It initially started out, you know about Paladino's? Mm-hmm. Paladino's is a bar that's one of those, FM station bars that was clinging to the 80s past, and they're out there deep in the valley and, charging $25 to come in and see some crap metal bands and stuff like that. Anyways, they booked us to play a show there as a cancer benefit with a bunch of other metal bands. So of course we were all in, I was more than happy to do something, especially if it was a cancer benefit, it was proceeds go to the city, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, we put the gig together, we were playing with a bunch of big metal bands, kind of some underground metal bands, which isn't really my venue, mm-hmm. but Paladino sold right before the gig at the Rose.
Okay.
So I went into kind of panic mode and everything, and I started emailing, making phone calls. I ended up getting a hold of the Lance, and I'm horrible, I forgot his last name, but he owns the Rose, and he also owns he owns the Rose in Santa Clarita and the Canyon.
Right.
Really, the guy, I don't know why or how it worked out, but he contacted me and was like, I sent him this email, urgent, we need a booking, I got a band, I got a, I got people, I got an audience, I got a vet, He threw this gig at me, and it just was the most perfect situation that I could have fallen into, mm-hmm. because you know, Rita Coolidge. Joe Cocker is like one of my most all-time favorite performers of all time. And she used to sing backup for him and, you know, kind of hung out in that tribe. So it's just like, we even did a Joe Cocker song. We did a Little Help for My Friends. Nice. But yeah, man, I mean, the way it worked out was just the stars just straight up aligned. Right. It was just one of those things that couldn't have been more perfect for us. The metal gig, the Paladinos gig, would have I think it would have been fine, but it wouldn't have been the right gig for us.
Right, I feel that.
Yeah.
Did you actually get to meet her, Rita Coolidge?
I didn't.
Yeah, because she probably just kind of showed up.
Yeah, we were the first band on. They were nice enough to put us in at the 6:30 slot. They didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
It was a little early, even though the place was full. It would have been nice to go on right before her, but you know, the way it worked out, it couldn't have been any better.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, there's always a buzz in that place. Like, yes. Whenever I walk by, I'm like, there's people at the Rose right now. Like, and it'll be like the, you know, they have that, that yacht rock band that plays there a lot.
It's like Yachtly Crew.
Yeah. But they pack that place.
Yeah, it's funny.
Like, you know, I keep meaning to go and check them out because I haven't yet. I'm like, I'm sure I'll probably enjoy it.
But any of those live venues are cool, especially out here. You just bump right over there. You live in Pasadena too?
Yeah, I live in Alhambra actually. Oh, okay. But my family's here in Pasadena. It's just right up the street.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool. And I used to go to the Canyon Club a lot too. So when I moved down here, and I was like, oh, the Rose is the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was living in Ventura, you just, I mean, that's where you saw
they
bands.
They were a real professional, like, have you ever played there live?
Mm-mm.
Man, the guys there, they ran a real professional gig, and it was nice. Right from the beginning, like I said, they didn't have to help me out with this show, but they did, and then they ran it very, very professionally.
That's cool. Yeah. And you got a good recording of it, too.
Got a great recording right off the soundboard.
That's awesome.
And then I had my buddy Manny Nieto, who is, a real prominent figure in my project. He was the one who mixed and mastered, he didn't master it, but he mixed and engineered and recorded all of my We're All Dogs EP.
Okay.
And he's going to be doing the LP also. But I gave him the copy of the mix right off the soundboard, and he was able to, you know, make it sound professional.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's all, that shit is, I'm giving that away for free on my website right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what's your next plan for the LP? Are you going to be going in the studio soon?
That's the plan. I'm looking towards I'm looking towards January.
Okay.
And I'm hoping to, like I said, the songs that are on the EP, I want to use my current band to make them, you know, what they are now when we play live, because the live stuff is so good right now. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I got the 3-piece girls backing harmonies, and you know, the bass players, Carl is just unbelievable. It's like the talent is really through the roof right now.
That's awesome.
Really exciting. Yeah. So that's the plan, is to start working on the LP here within the next couple of months and have it done by January. I'm going to be beefing up the EP songs. I'm going to be adding a couple more originals that I've been working on, and maybe a cover or two, you know, just for fun, and maybe even throw a couple of live tracks on there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
No.
More music.
Yeah.
Especially if it sounds good.
My thing is, like with the Rose, if I can record it and turn it around and give it to people, I'm so happy to do that. Like, I think it's just so easy to do, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Rose gig was as easy as taking it from one hand, handing it to another. They emailed me the files.
Right.
And then I, you know, everybody
you
gets
go.
A copy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I know you're playing Baked Potato next week, right? Do you have any other shows on the docket?
I got a couple other little things that might be happening, but I'm really focusing on the Baked Potato, and I'm focusing on trying to put this LP together real soon.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you playing with other artists that night too?
I am. There's a guy named, he's a great guitar player, and his name is Mark Wells.
Okay.
It's funny, because I actually called him to play with me on that night, and he said that he wasn't available. And then I saw him on the venue the day. He's the band that's on before us at 9:30. And he's a great, like, really great blues guitarist.
Cool.
Stevie Ray Vaughan style. Like, he kills it, yeah.
That's awesome. And where can we find your music?
My website. You can find my web, which is www.damianmusic.com. You can find me on Apple. I'm on iTunes. You can find me on Spotify. You can find me on YouTube. I got my YouTube channel up. I mean, anywhere. You can call me if you want. call me on the telephone. I'll be talking. I got more words than I got time.
You know? I feel you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you could say one thing to like an inspiring musician, like a young kid, what would you tell him about playing music?
Well, it's hard to say that because I think about my young self in with that question, and I think about the business back then, and I think about it now. You know, back then it was like, man, you'd have to get your bros together, you'd have to hit the Xerox machine, you'd have to chop flyers, you'd have to go and wait in front of schools, and hand out, you'd have to go put them on people's windshields, you'd have to go to the mall and hand. Those days, I mean, you know, it's all button pushing now. Mm-hmm. You got to be smart. And what I will tell people is the best thing that's helped me out, honestly, I went online and I saw a book that was called From Indie to Empire. And it's written by a guy named Ryan Donnelly. And I ordered it. It was $15. And basically, it's like a step-by-step guideline. For somebody like me, I have a real hard time with attention and retaining information, but this is set up really easy, and it's like a layout, like a manuscript for how to succeed in today's industry. And I ended up sending this guy a copy of my EP, and man, he got right back to me like within a day or two, and since then he's been in my back pocket just helping me when he really doesn't have to, because I know he's got a billion other things, but he likes the music. And he's genuine, and he says, that I'm, he likes what I'm putting together, and he just wants to be a part of it. And that he's helping me really motivate myself. If I was to tell somebody who's starting out right now, learn from that book, mm-hmm. build a team. You can't do it all by yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to build a team.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan's on my team. You're on my team. Yeah. Like everybody that wants to be part of this with me. I'm their family now, they're team members, like I can call on these people and say, hey, how can I help you? Cause you helped me out. This is how we work now,
Absolutely.
I say, keep your options open. I say, be friendly, spread love, try to be a part of the scene as best as you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Damian, well, thank you so much for everything. Sounded great. I really appreciate
it. Dude. That was so